church.
When it comes to the fast of St. Mary, people want to fast more. A couple of weeks ago, before the fast started, this lady comes up to me, she goes, "Abuna, absolve me." I said, "Sure, what did you do?" She said, "I want to fast an extra week." I go, "Does that need absolution or something?" Everyone wants to fast extra when it comes to St. Mary. And maybe in the apostles' fast or other fasts, we go, "Oh, why is it so long?" When it comes to St. Mary's fast, people want to fast more. And in fact, it's quite common now people fast extra when it comes to St. Mary. Some people also fast with a more ascetic way. They cancel out fish, although fish is allowed. Many people do many things out of the great love for St. Mary. The other thing is, St. Mary is loved not only in the Coptic Church, but in all churches. Daniel Marwood gave me this CD the other day of hymns about St. Mary. And there were Coptic hymns, there were Western hymns, there were Lebo hymns, there were hymns from all these different... she's global. What is it about St. Mary that makes her so global that everybody around the world, in every denomination, the traditional denominations, love her so much? What is it about St. Mary that makes her so loved? I guess I can't really answer that question, because everyone has their own experience of why they love St. Mary. I'm sure all of you have your own sort of experiences that make you love her. I can't put my finger on exactly what it is that makes St. Mary so loved. But there is one aspect that, for me, I think makes her special. Hi, Buna. Sorry, I started.
No, that's good.
And that is her motherhood. Like, when we look to other saints, we see them as role models, but really, do we see a saint as our mother? We see God as our father. But who do we see? Who takes that mother role for us in the church? And no one takes it more than St. Mary. I thought to explain a little bit today about St. Mary in the Gospel of St. John. You know, St. John was the one that our Lord on the cross said to him, "Behold your mother." So for St. John, he must have had that feeling that St. Mary is my mother. And so I thought to look at the character of St. Mary from the Gospel of St. John. And what's quite interesting is that St. John hardly speaks about St. Mary. In fact, many of the Gospel writers hardly speak of St. Mary. But what's interesting is that St. Mary is mentioned two times in the Gospel of St. John. The first time she's mentioned is in the wedding of Cana of Galilee. And the second time she's mentioned is, do you know when? When? Exactly, at the cross. And you know, in the Gospel of St. John, it's structured with miracles, by miracles. And so there are seven major miracles in the Gospel according to St. John, and they're referred to as signs in the Gospel. So there are seven signs in the Gospel of St. John. Signs where Christ reveals his divinity. Seven signs. And they argue that the final sign is the crucifixion. The first sign is the wedding of Cana of Galilee. And so what St. John is doing is that he's mentioning St. Mary in the first sign and in the final sign. And the way he mentions her is also interesting, that he creates this link between the two, between the wedding of Cana of Galilee and between the crucifixion. He calls her in the wedding of Cana of Galilee mother four times, and woman once. At the cross, he calls her mother four times, and woman once, as if to make a link between the two miracles. So for example, in the first miracle, wedding in Cana of Galilee, in John 2, on the third day there was a wedding in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. And when they ran out of wine, the mother of Jesus said to him, "They have no wine." His mother said to his servants, "What he says, you do it." He actually never mentioned her name, Mary. He never referred to her as Mary. He only referred to her as mother. And then when it comes to the cross, the same thing happens. Now there stood by the cross of Jesus, his mother, and his mother's sister. When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing by, he said to his mother, "Woman, behold your son." Then he said to the disciple, "Behold your mother." And I think it's not degrading that he doesn't call her Mary, but it's rather to honor and to lift the title and the role of Saint Mary as mother. He had a special feeling, a special connection with Saint Mary, that she was his mother, because Christ himself is the one that told him, "Behold your mother." And so to use the term mother was to magnify her role and to create this link between the two signs, the first and the last sign. And so Saint John is kind of symbolic of the church. So when Christ says to Saint John, "Behold your mother," it's as if he's saying to the church, "Behold your mother." At the wedding of Cana of Galilee, you see in Saint Mary this motherly instinct of care, that she was caring for the situation at hand of lack of wine. And so with a very tender motherly touch, she says to Christ, "They run out of wine." And then as her role as mother, she then instructs obedience. She asks the servants of the wedding, "Whatever he says to you, do it." And they did. Tells them, "Go get water." They got the water. Take it to the master of the wedding. They took it to the master of the wedding. And so as a mother, she instructs obedience. And then at the cross, we see Christ's ultimate obedience to the Father, where he lays down his life willingly in obedience to the Father. And so you see this link between the wedding of Cana of Galilee and the cross. In the wedding of Cana of Galilee, there is wine, water turned into wine. And the cross, you see the water and the wine flowing from the side, water and the blood flowing from the side of Christ. In the wedding of Cana of Galilee, you see the obedience motive. Whatever he says to you, do it. And at the cross, you see Christ obeying the Father. And so Saint Mary's motherhood, I think, is extremely special for us as a church and for us individually, that we have a mother in heaven, somebody who cares for us, is concerned for us. And there is nobody that can replace the love that a mother has for her children. That's a special, very, very special, tender connection. And I think as we discover that, we will find a special relationship with Saint Mary. And I think perhaps that is the secret of why she has touched the hearts of people all around the world, because of her motherhood to us. I'll tell you a quick story of Abuna Lazarus of St. Anthony's Monastery, the one that was an Aussie, converted, became Coptic Orthodox monk, and lives in a cave in St. Anthony's Monastery in Egypt. I met him in South Africa like 10 years ago or something. He was serving there when we had a trip to South Africa, and he was serving there at the same time. And he was telling us his story of his conversion. He was an atheist, professor at the uni, and he said that he lost his mum. His mum departed, and he was so distraught at the loss of his mum that he was missing something, and he was so upset. And anyway, one day, a Coptic girl actually gave him a book about the Coptic church, and so he decided to go to a Coptic church. And he went, as he entered the church, he saw the icon of Saint Mary. And he began to cry in front of the icon of Saint Mary and say, "I've lost my mother. I've lost my mother." Crying and crying. And he said, his eyes were closed, and he heard a voice come from the icon saying, "I will be your mother." And he said that point was it for him. He sought to become Coptic Orthodox, become a Christian, and ended up now in the monastery of St. Anthony as a monk. Began with hearing the voice of Saint Mary saying to him, "I will be your mother." And I really believe that Saint Mary is speaking to all of us, saying to us, "I will be your mother. I will be your heavenly mother. I will care for you. I will intercede for you. I will inspire you. I will look after you when you're down. Let all of us today consider that St. Mary is our Heavenly Mother, a treasure that we should understand and discover in our life. And glory be to God forever.
Thank you, Wana. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, one God, Amen. Buddha Mark has basically said everything that I was going to say, but anyway, ticking off other things he's saying. We'll try to just tell you a few things, Kitha, so that it's more like a contemplation on the life of St. Mary and her motherhood to us. Like the topic is called that St. Mary, our mother. And we always, when we look at the as saints, we have to learn from their lives. This is very important. We venerate saints all the time. But why do we venerate saints? Because we venerate them because we look at their lives and that we learn from their lives. We learn characters from their lives that we can apply to our own life. And that's how it's very important that when we look up at the icons, why does the church put icons in the church? Why do we put them? Is because these saints have some very unique characters, and they've lived a life, a special life, being close to God, and they have all had different characters that we can learn from. When we put a candle in front of an icon of St. Mary or any saint, we are saying that this saint was the light of the world. Every time we put a candle, that means we're saying that this saint was the light of the world. Their life was the light of the world. And that's not to say that we cannot imitate that life. We can't imitate that life. You know, we always have saints that are, you know, ancient saints. And, you know, we're starting to see more saints that are wearing suits like Habib Gerges, which are more common, like, you know, sort of like in recent times. And we hope, Taban, in the next 50 years or 100 years, that one of you could become a saint. And we can come in the church and we put a candle in front of you and say, yeah, he's got his Nike shirt on, you know, whatever. It'd be like a saint with a Nike shirt, you know, or a polo shirt, you know. Why not? Why not? And that's the idea of the church, is that we can all be saints. The idea of the church, we can be all be saints. Saints are not something that, oh, they're in a sinner, that these people lived 2,000 years ago and, you know, we just do something, a ritual, and we pass their feast. No, we have to learn from them. We have to learn to live a saintly life. We have to learn to live like these saints. So today, the character that we're looking at is St. Mary, the Mother of God, the Theotokos, and she received that title officially in the Council of Ephesus. You know, because Nestorius was one who disputed that, he didn't want to call her the Mother of God. But there was a council, and it's history, of course, and theology, all this sort of stuff. And that there was a council convened, and they officially added her to be the Theotokos, which means the Mother of God. So we're looking at St. Mary as being the Mother of God, who is our mother. As Abuna was saying earlier, he was saying that on the cross, the Lord assigned St. Mary to be our mother, because he assigned her to St. John. He said, this woman is your mother. Well, if we look at John, we look at him as us, is a symbol of us. So the Lord assigned her to be his mother. That means she is the mother of all mankind. And he assigned him to be her son, as being the son of all mankind. So she's the mother of all mankind, and we are the children of she becomes our mother. So this is what the Lord assigned on the cross. He assigned her to be the mother of St. John, which means he assigned her to be our mother. And he assigned us to be her children as well. So, and it was an instigation, or it's actually an honor for her to receive that. And that's why the church venerates her very highly, and the Lord honored her, and we say that she's like the cherubim or the seraphim, and, you know, very highly honored because of her purity, because of her way of life that she lived, And of course, because she bore our Lord Jesus Christ in her womb and became his mother, the mother of God, St. Mary. So we learn from her the characters of being motherly, you know, and we can all be characteristic of her, like be like her. Like it's not just for women, the boys as well, men and women can have the same character of her loving, as Abuna was saying, that she looked at the needs of others, right? When in the wedding of Cana Galilee, she saw that people needed more wine, and she interceded, and that's why the idea of intercession comes in from the wedding of Galilee, the miracle of the wedding of Galilee. So she, in her character, is a loving, and we should be also loving. She's so kind. We also should be kind. She is caring. We should all be caring. And rest assured that the saints are always going to be with us everywhere we go. Sometimes we say that God distances himself when we do sin. That's not right. Actually, God is more with us when we do sin, because he wants to lift us from that sin. So when we sin, St. Mary is not far from, the saints are not far from us. They're not distancing themselves. They never will, because this is not their character. They're not like Christ is. His character is human, but he's beyond the human idea or the human nature or the human way of thinking. So when we sin, these saints are not far from us. They're actually waiting to lift us up. And St. Mary is always waiting to lift us up. And that's why when Abuna was talking about Abuna Lazarus, how he had a connection with St. Mary, and he felt that she was the one who was calling to him to be his mother, because he had lost his own mother. I had the privilege I didn't know this story, but I was saying that, like, when I was in Egypt in February this year, I had the blessing to pray with Abuna Lazarus the Antoni, and we prayed in the middle church up in the mountain, not St. Anthony's cave, but there's another church who's there, which is, I don't know the name of the church, I think it's Abuna Ambapola, Ambapola Basit, yeah. And it was only me and him and another priest, and to my amazement is that, you know, usually we don't put the picture or the icon of St. Mary on the altar, but he had a small icon on the altar, and every time her name was mentioned in the Mass, he would pick up the icon of St. Mary and he starts to kiss it. I've never seen this in my life before. Like, we all pray together and many priests, but I've never seen a priest have his picture, and he pulls it out of his bag, he puts it on the altar, and every time they mention the name of St. Mary, and we mentioned the name of St. Mary a few times in the Mass, he would pick it up, like he started kissing it. And then he prayed this towards the end. It wasn't even the feast of St. Mary, it was just like, it was a normal day. And he prayed this fraction for St. Mary in Arabic. Mind you, he doesn't speak Arabic, but he reads Arabic from the letters like we do, like Abuna Mark and I. But you can understand Abuna Mark and I, but you can't understand Abuna Lazarus at all. You know, like he's the type that, you know, very Aussie, and he's, you know, yalla bala la kidabek. You never understand what he's saying. So this whole fraction, I don't know how he did it. He prayed the whole fraction. It was a really long fraction, all in Arabic. And obviously I didn't understand a single word. But anyway, but every time there was the name of St. Mary, he'd pick up the picture, he starts to kiss it. Yeah. Then I realized that later on, I heard a story that that one time he was on the mountain and he actually was about to fall off. They actually fell off the mountain. But because of his love for St. Mary, like Abuna was saying, he yelled out to her. He said, "St. Mary, help me!" like this. And then he felt that something had lifted him up like that and put him back up onto his feet. It was like a miracle. And obviously, you know, he has a very strong relationship with St. Mary. And this is what I'm saying, like, we can have this relationship with St. Mary, we can have relationship with any saints. And obviously, you know, she was something special to him. As Abuna was saying, she was his mother. And, like, she was carrying him. And he felt that her carrying him and, you know, looking after him and supporting him. And that's the true sense of the Mother of God, Saint Mary, who carries us as well. Whenever when we are down or we feel that we are depressed or have any anxiety, call out to her and make her your mother. Just as like when you're a child, when you love to be in your mother's bosom, make her. That's what I felt about Abuna Lazar, that he was always in her bosom, always, you know, by her side, and that's why she was always by his side as well. As I said, like, saints are not far from us. They're never far from us. And regardless to what spiritual state we are, they're never far away from us. Don't think that because you've done something wrong in your life, because of your weakness, that everyone's going to run away from you. All the saints are going to run away from you. Or Christ is not going to want to know. That's not true. The fact is that they are more closer to us, because they want to lift us up from our weakness and strengthen us through their prayers and their intercessions. They're close, very close to us, and we can believe and have faith that they are, that they exist and they're always with us and continue with us. And this is something. There's a story I tell you again. A few years before my priesthood, I used to go to the Syrian monastery in Egypt, and to show you, Yani, is how much this, you know, Saint Mary is very beloved by many of the monks and the saints in our church. I was staying in the monastery for a couple of weeks, and then there was a very holy man, a monk who was named Abuna Yusuf. He's departed now. His name Abuna Yusuf is Suriani, and he lived a very simple life. Very poor life, Yani. He was one of the old monks in the Syrian, and he was very old and needed always people to help him and you know, like, to surround him. He was very, Yani, Bimashikeda, very slow. So one of the young monks became very friends with a lot of the monks. One of the young monks said to me, "Look, Abuna," it wasn't Abuna yet, I was, you know, like, I was still a lay person. He said, "We heard that Abuna Yusuf, Saint Mary appears to him and talks to him and comes to him. Let's go and find out what Yani, let's see the story and take his blessing." So we went to his alaya, his cell, and we found him that very poor way of life. You know, like, the cell was black, you know, from all this dirt, and he had a very thin, like, mattress together that was torn up, hasn't been changed for, you know, 30, 40 years. And you know, he had very simple clothes. He was very, very simple. Nothing much in it at all. He had a very poor life. Yani, and had they even, like, I heard that at that time, Pope Shenouda said to him, "Look, we'll move you from this alaya. We'll put you in another nice one." He said, "No, I don't want to. I want to stay here." He was old, but Yani, keda, very simple. But Abuna that I went with, he was a bit cheeky. Yani, a cheeky priest, keda. He said to him, he said to Yani, "Abuna Yusuf, I'm an Adra Mariam bit ye, like, but ullak eh." You know, he said to him, when Saint Mary comes to you, what does she say to you? And this is a tricky question, together. But he said to him, in simple keda, "Ya Abuna la ultilak, mish hadili tani." Well, no, we really knew that, you know, she did come. He said to him, "If I tell you, she's not going to come again." So obviously she comes to him. Like she comes to him and sits with him, and, you know, like a mother, like a true mother, she sits with him and spends the time. And this is the relationship we can have with Saint Mary, like a real true mother. You know, sitting with us, being with us, caring for us, always with us. And I know that, Yani, you know, even at the time of death, you know, we as priests, and I know Abuna Alban and myself and the fathers, have witnessed this ourselves. You know, like, many times we would go to people who are on their deathbed. There are two things that can happen on the deathbed. Either fearfulness, a person is fearful to die, and they're dying, but they're so scared, because obviously they're seeing something that is really bad on the other side, or they're so peaceful, or seeing saints. And many, many times, People would call out, St. Mary, St. Mary, St. Mary, I can see the light, I can see St. Mary, I can see you. So this is a phenomena that we're always experiencing. And that's just to show that really we can have a relationship with saints that can, even at the point of our death, that St. Mary can be there at the door waiting to receive us with our Lord Jesus Christ into heaven. It's so beautiful to know that we have these beautiful saints like the Mother of God, St. Mary, who will wait for us on the other side. Isn't that beautiful? And rest assured that when you have a relationship on earth with a saint, that saint is going to be waiting for you on the other side, definitely. You know, like we always like when we go to travel, like when we went to Africa, it was really nice to meet people who are waiting for us to greet us. It's always nice when you travel somewhere that on the other side people are waiting for you, to greet you, to bring you, to say hello, welcome, and so on. That's the same with heaven. It would be so beautiful for us when you have a relationship with a saint, or you have done good things to people on earth here, these people with these saints will be waiting for us in heaven. Will be waiting to greet us at the other side, on the other side of, and when we depart from this world, what will be the best beautiful thing is that you have all these saints that you had a relationship with waiting for you on the other side with our Lord Jesus Christ. That's a beautiful feeling to have. And that's why, be encouraged, young people, to have a relationship with saints. Be encouraged to think of them St. Mary as your mother, who will look after you in the time of your need, look after when you're in distress or depressed or you are in trouble of any kind. She nurtures you, she looks after you, just as your earthly mother has done that. St. Mary will do it even now and will do it even later when we're in eternal life. She'll wait for us on the other side. May the Lord be in intercessions of St. Mary be with us as we celebrate her feast day tomorrow. And let's today, Nikita, when we pray for her to be close to us always, and that we to be close to her. She's always with us, she's always close to us, but we want to be close to her. We want to mention her in our prayer. We want to always think of her in our life, to ask her for always to intercede on our behalf, because she is honored above the cherubims. And as I said, like when Abuna was saying, that she has been designated and been honored to be our mother, giving the duty to be our mother. So therefore we have a privilege, we have a beautiful blessing, we have something honorable that she's our mother, the mother, our spiritual mother that looks after us. Glory be to God forever.
One thing that I may give you as advice is the cry that we sometimes say, we say it in Arabic, Ya Adra, this cry. I remember one year that I gave a talk at St. Mary Church about this type of cry, and I mentioned stories about people that cried this cry and the immediate help came to them. I may repeat some of these stories and then tell you what happened after that. The first time I someone told me about this cry is a person that was Muslim, known to the majority of people in Sydney because he wrote books. He became Christian. Ismo Yohanan. His old name is
Yahya.
And he told us in a meeting how he converted to Christianity. He started seeing that Christianity is good because some Christian people were very nice to him, but of course this was not sufficient for him to convert. And then he had medical condition that was extremely painful. And one of his colleagues was Christian, was telling him at that time St. Mary was appearing in Zaytun, and they were in Alexandria. I told him, why not to go and ask St. Mary to heal you? There are miracles there of healing. And he told him, I didn't believe that much. He said, no. But after a couple of days, he had severe pain, unbelievable pain. He said that I was hoping to commit suicide to get rid of this pain. And then I remembered my colleague that said to me something about Saint Mary. And he said that if she is a saint, should I go to Zaytun? Why not that she can come to me now? And then he cried by all his voice. He was alone in the house, and I said, "Ya Adra!" And he said, immediately the pain disappeared and never came back. He was due for operation, he didn't do the operation. And he said that that's it. He went to his friend and he said this story and said, "I'd like to be baptized." And he became one of the very devout Christian that some of you may know. He wrote a book about I Saw the Light, and he passed away last year. This was one of the stories that I said in the congregation. Then I said another story about a person that there was a camp for younger couples, and one of our boys, he was in primary school, he went into the water and he drowned, and no one heard about him. His parents were busy by something, and everyone was busy. And then one of the girls was swimming. While she was swimming, she found something down, hitting her leg. And she put the boy totally dead. He doesn't breathe. Dr. Amani كانت هناك فقالوا لها help. So she took the baby, the child, and started resuscitating almost 20 minutes. Of course, they called the ambulance. The ambulance came with a helicopter. And the boy was not breathing at all. And after long, about, I don't know, 15 minutes or something like that, the boy didn't breathe. And they knew that he's dead. And then, in front of everyone, with tremendous courage, she did exactly the same. She looked to the sky and said, "Ya Adra!" And immediately as she said this cry, the boy vomited and started breathing. And he's with us in the church. He may be attending to my father.
Could be, actually.
Then I said another story of one gentleman here in our church. He works in the kitchen with us. He's an electrician. And he was actually doing some electrical work in one of the buildings in Egypt. And for the insulation of one of the cables broke, and iron was connected to electricity, and he was hanging on this iron. So he got that electric shock, and he dropped about 2 or 3 meters. And while he was dropping in the air, he said, "Ya Adra!" And then he saw himself dead. He saw something on the ground, and then he went inside himself and stood up. And whenever he says this story, he cries. I was actually planning one day to bring him to tell you this story. He's with us. After I said this in the sermon, a lady in our church called me after 1 week, and she said, "Your sermon saved my life." I said, "How?" She said, "She's working in child care, and she's responsible for the kids. And one of the kids opened a jar of biscuits, and he swallowed one, and stopped the boy breathing. And no one observed that. She was passing by, and she found him blue, dead. And she remembered the sermon. So inside this Australian, she cried by a voice that the building was shaking. "Ya Adra!" And the boat. So if you hear in the church, "Ya Adra!" you know what's happening.
Everyone will be saying it all the week.
You know, I worked in Egypt in a place called Mansoura. When Augustine, Jonathan worked in the same place. 10 kilometers away from Mansoura, there's a very small church in a place called Nabaru, if you are from Egypt. About 10 kilometers from Mansoura. Very small church, but belongs to possibly the 2nd century or 3rd century. And Pope Carolus was invited to pray in Mansoura. When he came to Mansoura, he said that I'd like to go to this church. He told him, saying that it's very small church, very small. He said, okay, I'll just pass by this church, then come to Mansoura. And he went, he didn't expect many people to come, because it's a very, very small church in a place called Nabaru. He prayed there, and all of a sudden, he observed that outside the church, there were tens of thousands of people, Muslims and Christians, that crowded the place. Actually, the place, there is no road. The road is 150 meters away from the church. And this 150 meters was packed by tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of people. Where did they come from? He doesn't know. Most of the Christians. And they like to greet him. He has to go to Mansoura. He has no time. So he used the method of sprinkling water, and that's faster, easier and faster. The Holy Church didn't have big jar. They had, it's a very small church, so they give him a jar that is a handheld, small jar of water. But of course they tried him to be very careful not to sprinkle much. Then he looked at the jar and went out. And he pours water in his hand and said, Ya Barakat al-Adra! Ya Barakat al-Adra! 150 meters, he sprinkled water on all the people. And at the time he got to his car, he gave the jar full of water to the deacon that was shocked. The jar was, one of the Muslims there said that if my galabeya will be squeezed, it will fill the jar 3 times out of the water. Just I was one person that was saying, Ya Barakat al-Adra. There's something there. Look, the church venerates saints based on 2 rules. One rule is the time. Because after someone dies, people love him. They say he's a saint. They start imagining stories that he was flying and he was doing something. Then after 5-6 years, they forget about him. And the story dies. So the church doesn't like to venerate a person before 50 years. Yes, another generation will come and they witness the fact that he is still doing miracles through his intercession or her intercession. So that's the way why Pope Carolus was venerated less than 50 years, about 40, because he's a special case. There's no single person in the whole Egypt or outside Egypt that knew about him that didn't hesitate to know that he's a saint and he'll be saint. So they give him this veneration, 40 years, not 50. The other rule is the number. If 5 people or 5 families say that Abuna Mark is a saint, you can suspect that, yeah, because there are only 5. But if 50,000, now look at St. Mary. It's 2,000 years, and there is no single person in any traditional church that doesn't say things about St. Mary. I saw once a video from Yugoslavia about people that go on a particular occasion to visit a place that one operation happened from St. Mary in the 20th century. And again, hundreds of thousands of people go up the mountain on their knees. They are Catholic. They go on their knees. They don't walk as respected Saint Mary. So simply what I'm trying to say, that the conscience of people cannot go wrong. You can deceive people 10 years, but you can't deceive them 2,000 years. You can deceive 5 families, but you can't deceive millions of millions of people over the history. So the century status of Saint Mary is not doubtful at all, at all. Can I ask you a question? If you don't believe in the intercession of Saint Mary, this will stop you from salvation? The answer is no. If you are a good person, you don't believe in the intercession of saints, and you follow the Bible, you love Christ, then you will be saved. But it's a treasure. If I have a treasure, then I live much more comfortably. If I don't have the treasure, I'm not going to die out of hunger anyway. So, Abuna Bishoik Kamel in Alexandria was always saying that it's a pity that some people do not know this result. There is a result. You know what the fathers were speaking about, this idea of purity that we receive from Saint Mary. One of the things that touched my heart all my life is the memory of Abu Ma'ar of Saint Macarius Monastery in Egypt, when I used to visit that monastery intensively when I was in my early 20s. I used to go to this place and stay days and days, and I was thinking to join them as a monk there. Something that the memory will never fade in my mind is that the kirtan of the sanctuary had an icon of Saint Mary by golden type of color, and there was no electricity at that time, so they pray on candles. And because the light in the night shines on this golden thing, she looks as if really she is a figure standing in front of us. It's very alive, with a very vivid feeling of the presence of Saint Mary. What touched my heart is the monks. The monks are celibate, they are not married. They don't have women, they don't have fiancé or girlfriends. Every single monk go there, stretch the curtain such that Mary will shine, and kiss her on the lips, lip to lip. I just felt that this is the source of purity that they receive. This is the source of virginity that they preserve. She's a symbol of purity. I kiss her on the lips as my mother, with tremendous feeling of, give me this purity, mother. Give me that feeling that I don't need the fields of this world of touches of physical desire. I need this spiritual. I felt that the monks were receiving this power from Saint Mary. There is always possibility to have friendship with saints. These stories that the father speak about this. A few days ago, I gave a sermon at Saint Mary, and because it was at Saint Mary Church, one of the deacons that is known to them passed away a couple of years ago, at the age of maybe middle 80s. We love this man. He's a very solid man, and he lived as deacon all his life. Everyone loves him. His children are with us. One of his children is a servant at St. Mark Church. The rest are servants in different churches. We used to visit him. I don't remember if Abuna came with me. I'm over here. On his bed of this, he stayed, I don't know how many days in the hospital. Many people used to visit him, including of course his children and grandchildren, because he's a beloved man, and they were always his wife and the children. And it was touchy because he's still alert, his mind is very strong, and he speaks to them together. But everyone knows it's late stage of cancer, and he was not even treated. He had chemotherapy a couple of times, and he was not fed, even there's no drips, waiting for his death. And then one night we went there, and they were flying out of joy that he died. I didn't know that it is. But when I said part of that story, Abuna Samuel went up and he said, I'll just say the details of the story because Abuna Samuel was there. I said the man saw Saint Mary in front of everyone, and told them, Saint Mary coming. He said to them, why? Because Saint Mary came to take me. With tremendous joy, he passed away. And every single member of the family was flying out of joy about this event. The same happened with Abuna, with an Anbashmuda brother, who was a priest. And this was witnessed by Anbashmuda, that he was speaking to Saint Mary a few minutes loudly, and we know that he's been Saint Mary, then he passed away. You know that we say that in the sunset prayer, the time that comes that my soul will depart my body, come, save me, rescue me from the conspiracies of the enemies, because we'll be under the conspiracy of the enemy because of our sins. So the devils will come and say, this Abuna Ya'qub belongs to me. I remember what he did at St. Mark, his laziness, his sleeping. Then St. Mary would say to him, shut up. So we asked St. Mary that the innocent of the Bacha should be there to defend. We are lucky in the relationship with saints. And it's not imagining, it's very real. And some people, I finished with one story about Abuna Bashar. I said this story to some of you, but I love to read stories. Especially that Abuna Bashar encouraged me and said, not to I say it again, it's nice. It was actually a priest that at the age of 70, his hands start shaking. It's Abuna Bashar, Al Ma'adi in Cairo. He's a holy man. Very likely he'll get venerated in the new time, because they start writing books about his miracles. And I witnessed a miracle from him directly. But anyway, this man at the age of 70, his hand starts shaking. And when he carries the chalice starts shaking. And then some people were worried about the blood to be spilled. They wrote a letter signed by a good number of reasonable people, sent it to the bishop that was responsible for the church, which is Anba Horogorius at that time. They told him, Sayyidina, the man is 70 years old, his hand is very shaky, and it's not proper. And we know that this will drop one day from his hand. Stop him praying by himself. If he prays, he has to pray with another priest, or actually just that he can carry a chalice with another priest, younger or so, to carry the chalice, because it's not proper for him to carry to the chalice. He was like a child, exactly child. He's a type of a man that is really child heart, but holy, very holy. Then he went into the sanctuary and sat on the ground and started crying. Get out, get out. I'm serving you and please stop me from praying, that's my child. And then he said that story. He said it to Abuna Philopus, who is a colleague of his. They were working together. Abuna Philopus said the story to me. While he was crying, he saw a lady with nice clothes, blue, in front of him, standing inside the sanctuary, and said, Abuna, don't be sad. You will pray very, very long time. Allah Mary. Allah, yeah. I came to tell you that you will stay years and years praying. He passed away at the age of 96, and he was praying until the last year of his life. At the age of 96, he's carrying the chalice, and he never dropped the chalice from his hand. And this is about the naivety of this man, just a side issue about how people can be saints. When Abuna Philopus started serving with him in the same church, he told him, Father, you can't always take public transport. The fanatic people annoy him and mock him and things like that. You have to have a car. He said, I'm very old to drive. Then Abuna Philopus told him, it's not that hard, just I'll teach you how to drive. Then out of politeness, he said, okay. Then he got him a car that is automatic. In Egypt, the car is automatic at that time was the edge of technology. And he started showing him how to drive. And he started driving. And one day while he's driving in a crowded area next to Abuna Philopus, he said, Abuna Philopus, he said, yes, Abuna. He told him, am I driving now? He said, yes. He said to him, it's me that drive the car? Yes. And the glory be said to me, how to stop a car? And the first president, he stopped the car and got it done in the middle of the most loud That's the type of saints that St. Mary appeared to them. I think our mind stops the saint from coming to visit us. Once we start to get the rush and become like that, maybe St. Mary will visit us. Thank you for listening.
I'll tell you a secret. Apuni, I hope, has a very good relationship with St. Mary's. When I first came to St. Mark 17 years ago or so, I can't remember, Bazoptiani, we have in our altar, we have what we call the ark, the wooden ark, you know, the wooden ark. And on the wooden ark, there's always an icon of Jesus Christ, the Last Supper, and there's an icon of St. Mary holding Jesus, an icon of St. Mark, and I think there's another saint, four pictures. So when I came, I saw that usually, like, you have to put, you should put the icon of the Lord Jesus Christ at the Last Supper in front of you, because that's what you're basically praying. But when I first came, I saw that it was always on the icon of St. Mary. And I would change it, you know, change it to the icon of Jesus. And I'd pray the Mass, leave, come back and find it again, back to the icon of St. Mary. And I would change it again. And I find, this is what's going on. Somebody comes at night and changes it or whatever. Then I discovered that Abuni Ahu loves this icon very much because he sees really the beauty in her. And he used to change it because they keep it in front of us. So I left the band. I thought I knew that I learned the lesson. After Abuna Jonathan got it ordained, he came, prayed the first Mass, he changed it back again. Then I think he discovered also that, you know, that it has to be kept at the ad St. Mary. And if you notice, if you go there, you'll find that it's actually kept on the picture of St. Mary. So, which is, because it's a beautiful picture, and it teaches us how to really love that icon. Do you know what's an icon? Yeah, okay.
This story just shows you how nice these priests are.
Yes.
But by the way, when Pope Shenouda came to pray, I put St. Mary in front of him, he looked at it and he didn't change it. So I was imagining that he'd shout, how is that? And he looked at St. Mary and prayed the Mass. So it's
he's got permission, we got permission.
But she carries Christ. So we have Jesus and his mom in front of us. And really, it's very true. It's very, very true. Relationship. I remember one day that one of my sons didn't come to the church for some time. And for some reason, I was in the church, encircling the church with incense. And I just remember that I need to see him in the church. And what I can do, I went to St. Mary icon and lit a candle and said to her, please, St. Mary, you are a mother, you have the feeling of the parents, I'd like to see my son. And the Lord is my witness. By the time I returned back, I found him standing with Tonya. I said, where did he come from? Must be from another daughter. So there are things that there's one particular person that is, I think, pilot or whatever. He doesn't come to Franco. Yeah. He comes every time he travels, he has to come and have the blessing of St. Mary. And he told me stories after stories about miracles that happened from this icon. Why icons? Because we can feel a little bit about the person when we see the icon, and I get moved by the feeling of the person. What's the loss? Do we love more the saints? Does the Lord like us to be as a family in heaven, loving each other? When a Protestant person says to you that no, you have to give all the glory to God, you don't distribute the glory to saints, tell him how naive that idea is, because when I deal nicely with Abuna's children, will Abuna be upset? Say, you have to deal with me? It's a family. These saints, the Lord raised them. The Lord made them like that. The Lord liked them to be like that. Look at what happened to Saint Paul. He was, he had an encounter with the Lord directly. But who baptized him? He had to be baptized. By who? By a simple person, as a priest. So he sent him to be baptized by the church. Why? In order to make the church love it. The Lord likes us to love each other. So the servants and the apostles are beloved to us because we love Saint Mark. Because of him we are Christians, so we love him. It's a family. In heaven, we'll be with the family of God, including the saints, including the angels. So it's very narrow-mindedness to think that my relationship is directly to Christ and there is nothing around. It's not the case. The Lord always likes us to be a family. The Lord has never been alone. Whenever he moved, he took a group of people with him, not one. When he sent the disciples, he sent them two by two. He likes them. It's like any father. Now, your dad and your mom, when you have fights with your siblings, what's their feeling? Very bad. He likes to have a family. So Saint Mary is on the top of the family, highly beloved by all of us, and her love is joining us. And that's the saint. Our relationship to the saints make heaven to us, as Abuna says, we long to them. We long to see some of the saints. I'm not sure, there must be saints everywhere, including Australia, but the ones that lived in St. Egypt and had encounter with Pope Carolus, the feeling towards the man is amazing. Amazing. When you feel that because of this man I was healed, or because of this man I saw his power, then there's a nice warm feeling that I'm a member of the family. And of course, on the top of the family is Saint Mary. Where we get that from, look at how Gabriel spoke to her. Gabriel is supposed to serve God and only God. You know that angels are categories or ranks. Some of the ranks of the angels are not for humanity. They are for God, only God, including Gabriel. Gabriel is standing before God, not before people. Before people, there are other class of angels to serve people. But Gabriel, no. But he was sent by God, particularly for Saint Mary. And look at what he said to her. Has never been this type of greeting. And that's why she was disturbed. She was not disturbed from his look or apparition. She was disturbed from what he said. Because what he said is amazing. O baraka antif al nisa. مش عارف سلام لك ومتالي أنعم. Peace be with you, you full of grace. Word after word, what's going on? Has never happened in the history that an angel said that to people. Which angel? Gabriel. The one that we know when the church says that, you know, in the icons, Abba Daniel was telling us, a proper icon of Saint Mary will never be lower than angels. Like we do. If any artist draws angels above her, flying, it's not right. Because we say that she is above even the cherubim and cherubim. She is higher, highest rank. She is the queen of heaven and earth. And this, because of her, our race became glorified. Our flesh is in heaven because of her. Jesus took from her her blood and her flesh and went to this flesh with the flesh in heaven. So when we say she is the pride of our race, it's very true. The pride of our race is Saint Mary, because out of her body she entered with her flesh heaven. And this is the plan. Every single person in history was like that until the 16th century. And when the Protestant people started, they called themselves reformers because they tried to reform the Catholic Church at the time, then they were excommunicated. Because they were excommunicated, they needed to attack the church in whatever they can, in order to survive. And among the things that they knew, that everyone in the church has a relationship with the saints. And they said, it's not important to have saints. They knew that in the church, they have icons. They said, it's not important to have icons. People go to the church because of the relics of the saints. They said, no, this is rubbish. Don't use the relics of saints. Then they said, they go to the church because of the priest, to anoint us, to baptize us, to, no, there's no priesthood. So it's well understood why the Protestant people did what they said what they said. But nowadays, they are turning back. There are many Protestants now, and the way they write is very different. Like one of the famous singers, Protestant Baptist in America, from Arabic origin, has a wonderful song, I didn't believe it, about St. Mary. And he sings it now in Protestant churches. So I think it's understandable. If any person is still, until now, in the 21st century, trying to reject the intercession of saints, it just is silly, it's history, not real.
Just when Jonathan apologizes for not being with you this evening because he has a talk at Archangel Michael, so he wishes you all the best and blessed feast for everyone.
Does anybody have any questions for the fathers?
Good.
What's your favorite Saint Mary hymn?
That's a good answer. That would have Mark's answer.
That's the best one. That would have Mark's answer.
Okay. Is there anything else for the program? Anything else? That's it. Okay. Pray. Yeah.
With the pleadings of the Mother of God, Saint Mary. Yeah.